Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a good day. The big news so far today, Ed Werder's report that Jerry Jones enamored with Deion Sanders and Deion would be willing to take the job if he was offered. Okay, so you have that. We were just talking about Dak. Clifton Aubrey says his running is no longer pro level. His passing will be heavily impacted. He'll no longer be able to drive the football with his legs.
Oi.
Yeah, the ball will lose energy at the end of his passes, leading to picks or underthrows. I had no idea this avulsion fracture had this kind of potential, but that's the second text from somebody who kind of knows what they're talking about with the kinetic energy that's flowing from the ground up and how that really wicked detachment from ligament from bone, that's the hamstring area, right? Might impact his athleticism moving forward. Mm. That would be just horrible luck, you know, the games after you give the deal. But you kind of did it to yourself, giving him the original second contract after the compound fracture of his leg. So hopefully that's not true. If that is true, then you absolutely should be looking at moving on from him before the accelerator in his contract the fifth day of the league year, shouldn't you, Chief?
Well, yes, you should, but that would take some foresight and not waiting to the last minute on things, you know, actually putting somewhat of a plan together.
Yeah.
And I don't see them doing that.
And I guess because it's the whole thing is injury guaranteed, I don't know how that would work. You know, if you move on from them saying, well, that injury happened, which makes us look at the contract differently, and that's why we're releasing you, even if it's a successful surgery and he's on the comeback trail. I don't know how all that works, but I know the Cowboys are really up against it. And I don't know. Am I too pessimistic thinking this might be the worst state that Cowboys football has been in since Brian Broaddus worked for him?
Yes. It's not too pessimistic.
Man, because you're not wrong.
it's certainly in the cards that these injuries have piled up in a way that is going to prevent Dak from being anywhere close to the height of his powers. And you've just paid him, you've just locked him up with a ridiculous amount of money.
Right, which, I mean, that handicaps you. Certainly, that's what they'll tell you from being able to do and improve the team and put more talent around him. It feels a lot like the 8-8 purgatory years from like 10 to 12, 11 to 13. Really, as they tried to build up that offensive line. That's when you had Tyron Smith drafted. You had Travis Frederick drafted. Then in 14, you had Zach Martin. You had a healthy Tony Romo, and then things took off from there. But it does seem like I don't know that they'll be so bad to where it's 5-11. But if they don't have a competent quarterback, then yeah, it easily could get that bad. The reason they stayed afloat those 3 years was because Romo was outstanding.
Yeah, you know, still couldn't make the playoffs, but at least they were an 8-8 team. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're hoping, that they can continue to do these couple of years while they're rebuilding. But if Dak's not healthy enough to run or push the ball downfield, and you have a bad offensive line with no running back, you know, that might be really tough sledding. 214 says, I can't trust anything Ed Werder says in regards to what Dion is thinking.
I disagree on that.
Same.
I just, listen, there's a lot of things that you don't have to like any of us. That's fine. There are connections that Ed Werder has. He did cover Deion Sanders when he was here during those Super Bowl runs. Ed Werder also has ties to Colorado.
Does he?
Home state. So, yeah, he's got ties. He knows people in the state. He knows people there that are involved with the universities. You know, he's very, very well respected up there. Again, you don't have to like him, but this one I would absolutely trust that he is, he's not going to lead you down the wrong path here.
At one time, Jerry was one of the most unpredictable owners in the NFL. You know, has he refound that, or is he insisting upon, you know, doing something like that to fuse some energy back into the organization? That would be very interesting. I was racking my brain, like, you know, I think obviously Todd Archer's way up there and Mishota's way up there, but I just think Ed Werder might still be the best reporter as far as having a beat on things.
Well, it's seniority, you know, with the number of years, and he could stretch all the way back.
His network is just so vast.
It is vast, and he could stretch all the way back to like with me, like the last time that Jerry had success, he was covering this team 30 years ago. Matter of fact, Ed Werder and Rick Goslin were the two guys that Jerry grabbed to say, hey, come here, I got a scoop for you. And so, I mean, Jerry's, you know, the one that was grabbing Ed Werder and telling him, you know, hey, this is what's going down with Jimmy and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, it's, like I said, I there's a lot of things that you probably say, I don't know about that, Ed. And then there's times where these are the ones where I go, okay, he's not reporting this just because he's throwing it up against the wall. Like, he actually has something here.
Yeah, and this isn't a tie into Deion, but I mean, Brian, when we were in post game, last game of the season, we looked over. This was probably 30 minutes or so after McCarthy had been done talking. He came back out and he had a 10-minute one-on-one with Ed Werder.
Yeah.
He didn't talk to anybody else that way. Like, Ed's very, very well respected. Coaches and players respect him. He's able to get a lot of access other people aren't able to get.
He's a crusty guy. He doesn't get along with everybody. You know, the older you get, the more mad you get. And so I can understand, you know, why, like, you know, he comes off that way. But you get like frustrated, like, you know, hey, I've got this thing wired, and now you're getting questioned about it. But I would trust him on this one. I would trust him.
The older you get, the madder you get. That's science,
isn't
it?
I'll tell you a story.
Everybody will agree to that, right? 877-881-1053.
Science rules.
Can I tell you a real quick Ed Werder story? Just real quick, if I could. We're sitting in the draft room, and we're watching the TV, and Ed's up there like it's day two, and Ed is going through every single thing that we're going to do that day. I mean, he literally is spelling it out as we're sitting there watching it in the draft room. And Steven looks, Jerry looks around the room and goes, how the hell did he get all that? And Steven goes, well, you gave it to him. And Jerry's like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. Started laughing, you know. Like, literally, like.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like Jerry's like, how did he get all that? And Steven goes, well, you gave it to him. You know, so that, you know, Ed Werder is, like I say, he's had a lot of days in the sun.
Okay, how about this? Just a question. Why is it national media gets all the scoops on what's going on in the Cowboys when the home of the Cowboys station has Bobby and Brian, Cowboys insiders?
Yeah, and that, you know, that's a I tell you what though, it's when it depending on there's certain people, like, okay, let's just be real honest since he's now gone. Mike McCarthy. Tom Pelissero went and did a story about Mike McCarthy, right? Didn't he go to the farmhouse and this whole big thing? Well, you know, all of a sudden you're in a situation where Tom Pelissero helps Mike McCarthy get a job. So, you know, Jay Glazer, really good friends with Mike McCarthy. You know, matter of fact, Jay Glazer was the one that steered Stephen Jones to Mike McCarthy. Good friends with Steve too.
Yeah.
So you develop some of these relationship friendships for going out and then, you know, and then like, listen, I'll take care of you here. I'm going to put this out there, you know, like, you know, somebody makes a report, like a Jay Glazer makes a report about somebody. I generally look at it as he's trying to help somebody get to where they need to be. Tom Pelissero, very fine reporter. But you have relationships with people. And then sometimes, like I say, it's our job. Those guys tend to be a little bit more friendly. And as opposed to me, Bobby went on a rant why he hated Mike McCarthy. I went on a 3-year rant why I didn't want any. And I made it personal with Jason Garrett. I'll admit that. I made it personal. I'm hated in that building over there with a lot of people just because of that. So, yeah, you could be really nice and cordial and friendly and let me help you. Or you could be, hey, I'm going to be honest about this. I'm going to say the good with the bad. And that's how we're going to cover this team. So, yeah, national media tend to get more of those scoops because they're not on the boots on ground here mm-hmm. every single day having to battle this thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're battling it from Bristol, Connecticut. They're battling it from New York City. They're battling it from LA.
Yeah.
We're here battling it. And these people see us every day and they're not too happy with us a lot of these times.
Yeah. That's great insight to that whole dynamic. I feel like a lot of the major players across the world of sport, whether it's a player, coach, GM, whatever yeah. owner, they want to see it on SportsCenter or NFL Network. You know, they want the whole nation to see this.
Yeah.
You know, they want it to drop an absolute bomb. And if you let it go locally, that it will eventually get out there. But you're taking care of the guys who have the biggest, potential to spread good news about you.
There was a time, and here's another gentleman that's no longer with the Cowboys, Rich Dalrymple. Rich is the PR director. Rich wasn't always interested in helping local guy, but Rich was interested in helping Peter King, helping national, when national media guy came into the building, interested in helping them, holding their hand, walking them through, giving a little insight.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you have the relationships with the networks that are putting the games on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so we're helping this network, ESPN or Fox, get better ratings so we can make more money. You know,
there you go.
So you're contributing to tune in and Jerry Jones and most owners know that game.
There were things that we used to find out at DallasCowboys.com that we couldn't report.
Yes. I remember that often.
And it happened to us a lot. And then 2 days later, some national media guy had it and was reporting it where we had it. Mm-hmm. We saw it with our own eyes or we uncovered something and like, oh, can't do that. Can't do that. 2 days later, Jay Glazer's talking about it on Fox.
How about this text from the 302? Guys, next year they play the AFC West. 5-12 is the top out. I mean, Denver's going to be tough to score on, but it could be Denver and Oakland.
They could be
Vegas.
They stink against Denver. The Cowboys history against the Broncos is horrendous. Mm-hmm. We haven't beat them in a long time.
This team could be worse. It could be worse than what they went through this
year. I think their 17th game is the Jets, though, isn't it? So that's like at least 6-11.
And the Chargers are a beatable team. But it absolutely could be worse. Yeah, I mean, the talent.
Think about the players that potentially could. Like, Jeff Kavanaugh and I did a mock. Well, he did a mock draft, and he was walking me through it. And he kept trading back in the thing just to see how it would go.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough picks to get everything that was needed for the holes. He couldn't grab. He couldn't. All the picks he had, he couldn't get to a wide receiver.
Even with trading down a bunch of times and getting more picks.
He traded back twice in the first round and couldn't get all the picks.
It's impossible. They can't fill all of their needs without being players in free agency, and that's not
That's the key right there.
Right.
And we all know that traditionally this team doesn't play in free agency.
And that's can they even afford to keep their own this year, right? Yeah. I mean, last year we saw everybody that left. This year you got Chauncey Golston, you got Osadizua, you got Jordan Lewis. Mm-hmm. The list goes on about got Brandon Cooks. You need to get a receiver. You might need a starting defensive end. You probably need a starting defensive tackle. Hell, maybe
a nickel
two.
Corner.
Right, another corner.
Yeah.
Right on, guys. Great stuff. How does Cowboys Nation feel about how things have gone over the last week with the Cowboys coaching search? The Athletic did a poll about it. We'll give you the results of that and ask you how you voted. And then we'll get Lights Out Sean Merriman to join us here coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We'll have Sean Merriman on in about 7 minutes. We have results of the Athletic Cowboys poll following the last 3 days of Cowboys news on this coaching search and the firing of Mike McCarthy, or not extending him, whatever you want to call it. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit franklefirm.com. Brian just put up his phone and walked out of the room, so maybe he's working on something. Krusty's Corner's coming up here in about 20 minutes. First question was, parting ways with Mike McCarthy the right decision? What percentage of Cowboys fans do you think answered that yes?
Oh, I'd say
70.
Yeah, 70 plus, maybe even more.
I mean, you guys are very close. 65% indicates it wasn't a slam dunk notion, writes John Mishota, but by a factor of 2-1. You know, I don't know if it was the right decision or not. You know, I don't think the Cowboys are going to get better. Like, he was the best coach since Parcells. They did Garrett. They did so many ones that, you know, I would think could be much worse than Mike McCarthy. But just, I guess, a 35% chance. I mean, if you could quantify like that they get somebody better, shoot. I mean, why not? Do you approve of the way Jerry Jones handled the decision? What percentage said hell no?
60. Oh, yeah, I would say 80.
78%. Giafalo on it once again. What was the worst part about it?
One, you block him from interviewing with the Bears, which makes you think, like, okay, you want him. And then you just, you don't even, the reports are you're not talking to him, what's going on. It's just, everything was in limbo. I think they kind of did him very disrespectfully, personally.
I just think they had so many qualifiers to wanting to bring him back that it's like, clearly you should have just been decisive much earlier in saying that we don't want him. You only want him on this many years. You want to make sure that Jason Witten is going to be the heir apparent, like all these qualifiers just so you can keep him here for like 2 years. Like, you didn't really want to commit to him.
Yeah.
So that should have been obvious to you then. Like, okay, if it takes all of these things to make it work, then it's probably not worth it anymore.
You know, I think billionaires, the richer you get, the more disconnected that you get. And I would never think of like disrespecting a millionaire Super Bowl winning head coach who, you know, been with your organization for 5 years. But it seems like a strong amount of disrespect how you treated Mike McCarthy there.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why, other than just decades of having so much money. Maybe you look at Mike McCarthy as a little person that you know, you don't have much consideration for. The decision has me feeling like Brian Broda stepping back into the studio now. You got anything you want to share coming up in Krusty's?
No, he's got that look in his eye.
No, it requires further conversations.
Further conversations. We're going to table these.
Sorry about that.
This decision has me feeling like the franchise is lost. No reason for hope. For sure, not sure what to think, hoping for the best, or Cowboys are moving in the right direction. Now, Cowboys moving in the right direction, 6.1% of people voted for that one. That was a...
That's a crazy 6.1% right there. And I love you, but I'm usually a crazy one. This is no hope moving forward. Franchise is lost right here.
Now, would it be any different if McCarthy was still here? Is it like moving on from McCarthy, is that reason, or that was just the reason no matter what?
It's definitely leaning that reason no matter what. I don't think it really mattered much if it was Mike here or not, but how they've handled the Mike thing also just shows you there's really not a plan.
Yeah, I guess I got to see how this comes together. If you go with a really good defensive guy as your head coach and you bring in a whippersnapper, that could bring me into hoping for the best pretty quick. So I know I got to answer this right now. Franchise has lost no reason for hope. I mean, they did just win 12 games 3 years in a row. We've seen them pile up a lot of good. Is that kind of like prisoner of the moment saying no reason for hope? And anytime you make the playoffs, I mean, that's going to fuel you with a little bit of hope. You did that 3 years in a row.
Yeah, just ultimately didn't do much with those playoff
appearances. I think that's why there's no hope, because it's like, man, you've had it laid out for you pretty nicely. It's not like you've just had no chance. You've had pretty solid opportunities to do something, and you've S'd the bed.
And you add in having paid your quarterback, and what we've just been talking about, what's the health like of said quarterback moving forward?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like, what's your time frame? I don't think there's much hope for the next 2 years. Things can turn around pretty quickly. I think this... You know, Will McClay's scouting department has done well enough over the years to have some sort of faith in them, don't they?
That's the only thing that keeps me thinking maybe you nail a draft. But again, in terms of winning a championship,
you know, it means
30 years. It's hard to overlook that.
Who would you like to see the Cowboys hire of these candidates? The Athletic gave you a significant amount of them. Ben Johnson, Mike Tomlin, Deion Sanders, Bill Belichick, who apparently hasn't signed his contract yet, but they're saying this letter of intent is binding.
Yeah, I saw Mike on with McAfee today. Mike's like, I still haven't technically signed my contract, but it's all done. Like, it's meaningless. It's just a story. We're here. We're not going anywhere.
Kellen Moore, Pete Carroll, Aaron Glenn, Cliff Kingsbury, Ron Rivera, Joe Brady, and Liam Cohen, the Bucks OC, kind of in that order. I gave you the order of, you know, who got the most to the least amount of votes, but Ben Johnson getting 22% of the votes there. Probably a lot of those guys are Tolos. Aaron Glenn in there with 6.5% of the vote. Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere, is he? That's not even a...
No, that's not a thing. Somebody asked him in his presser about, like, the idea of a team wanting to trade for you, and he was basically just like, don't waste your time.
I just think Deion would be the most interesting story to cover.
For sure. Know?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, from an entertainment value standpoint, and like a real reason for, like, you're not just... This isn't a Jason Witten-like circus. This is a guy who actually has head coach credibility here. Now, obviously, there's questions to be answered about whether or not he can do it at the NFL level. But this is an actual coach who has earned it.
We know Mike Zimmer would return and continue his career as a head coach. Do we assume he would also continue his career as a defensive coordinator for Deion Sanders as he did in college? That's another interesting angle on this. As we get set now, G-Bag Nation, to talk to Lights Out Sean Merriman. Lights Out Sports TV, a groundbreaking free streaming service. Historic partnership. They'll live stream all practices for the 2025 East-West Shrine Bowl. And Sean Merriman joins us now here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, what's going on, my man? How's it going?
Doing great. And congrats on this streaming app. This is cool. What do you have planned for your new platform?
Yeah, man, this is awesome. You know, as you guys know out there, this is the 100th annual East-West Shrine Bowl game that's coming up. But we have the week of practices down there starting the 25th to the 28th. It'll be live on Lights Out Sports TV, my new free ad-supported all sports streaming services. You guys can download on any major smart TV you got, iOS, Android. But when I tell you that these practices are going to be so interactive, and we'll try to get as intense, these exclusive interviews. This is the biggest confirmed list of high prospects that's ever practiced in the history of the East-West Shrine Bowl. So honored, man, that they went with us when we liked our sports TV. And also, too, we got some really, really good coverage coming out. And I think you guys are talking about old primetime Deion Sanders. I think he's going to be there as well, man. So I can't wait to see him and some of the other guys, that Shador and Travis Hunter, I think those guys are going to be there as well. So it'd be pretty cool.
Shador going to be playing?
I think he's practicing. He is going to be practicing. I don't know for sure how much he's going to do or what. But anytime you got somebody like him in the building and just access to see his body of work, man, I just think he's a heck of a kid and a heck of a player, man. So I think we're going to get him practicing a little bit.
Yeah, that would be really exciting. Both the Sanders gentlemen are big topics of conversation here. What do you think about Deion as an NFL coaching candidate?
I love it, man. And the thing is, and I understand his stance, right? Because he's a heck of a coach. He's a heck of a recruiter. And they got some top prospects that's going to end up going to Colorado. And you don't want to seem like you're going to jump ship, because these other college coaches are going to recruit against him, saying, hey, why would you want to go to Colorado? He's going to the NFL. So I completely understand where Deion is also, too, if you get an opportunity, man, to jump to make that move to the NFL, and especially like organization like the Cowboys, you got to consider that. I mean, it's one of these opportunities that you may not get again. You may not get the opportunity because whoever they bring in next is going to be there probably for the next 3-5 years plus or whatever it is. So if you got a real chance or opportunity and Jerry Jones calls you and he's serious, you got to at least contemplate, right? You got to at least think about it. But I 100% understand Deion's stance because you do not want to make it seem like you're going to jump ship from those new recruits and prospects that's coming to Colorado.
You obviously spent time with the Chargers and the Bills. Bills moving on, they're playing this weekend. But we've talked with you a lot about Dak. What do you think about Justin Herbert right now?
I still think highly of him. You can't take away his body of work. There's no doubt about it that he had an ugly performance in the playoffs. And actually, his last two playoff appearances were ugly. They wasn't that great. But you can't take the body of work away from him and what he did during the season. The same thing. I say the same thing about Dak. You know, Dak is a great regular season player. He will go out there. He's going to give you numbers. He's going to put on a show. He's going to be a great leader. And you just hope that one of these years he get over that hump, right, and perform in the playoffs. But until then, that dark cloud is going to remain over guys like Dak Prescott, over guys like Justin Herbert. Can they get the big thing done? And that dark cloud is going to be there until you go out and do it.
What do you know about this supposed fight before the Super Bowl between Ocho Cinco and James Harrison?
You mean the onslaught? I don't want to see a pit bull versus a poodle, right? I'm not looking at CNN. And you guys know, I've been in the fight business for a long time. You know, I have my promotion with Lightside Extreme Fighting, but I've been around the sport, man, for about 18 years. And I think that's good for media, and you know, I don't think that is going to happen. I think it's okay. Unlikely. But it's entertainment. If people watch it, then they watch it. I don't see it happening.
We'd all be fearing for Chad Johnson's life there.
Yeah, they got to make sure he's on deck just to get split in half. They can take both sides of it. So I don't think anybody wants to get in the cage or a ring or anything like that with Debo.
No. Who in their right mind would want to be fighting James Harrison? That is absolutely crazy.
Not even you would do that, Sean, would you?
Yeah, for sure. No, but I'm different. Yeah. I'm different. I would actually take that fight if Debo would ever want to do it. There's very few guys that I would actually want to get in there with. He'd be one. I know the fans will love it. We'll put on a great show. Debo versus Lights Out, man, I think. We'll do well selling tickets, and we'll do it on Lifetime Sports TV. You'll make it free so everybody can see it.
Do you train in fighting, though? Would you have an edge with techniques and stuff?
Yeah, I think I got the advantage over Debo. Obviously, he's strong. I've seen him out at the Super Bowl last year, and, you know, I got a chance to spin. I like Debo, but again, if he was actually, if he wanted to do it, I would agree to it 100%. We'll do it in Lifetime Extreme Fighting. We'll do it on Lifetime Sports TV and make sure that everybody can see it. But yeah, I don't think he would do it, and I would have the advantage anyways. But I just don't think he would do it.
Would you turn James Harrison's lights out?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I outside of the cage and all that, I got a tremendous amount of respect for him. He's a scary dude, but in the cage, I don't think it's something that he's gonna have a whole lot of success in. I've just been doing it too long. I've been training against other high level guys for a very long time, and. I just don't think that's something he will want to do. But the fans will see it. The fans will love to see it. I would love to make it happen.
Who's your Super Bowl matchup?
Cool. Look, I'm gonna get hate no matter what I say, which is great. I got a Bills Detroit. Now, and I said this before the season. It's Detroit's time. Philly looks great. They're running the ball well. They're clicking. Their defense is playing much better as of late. I like Philly, but again, right now, the way Detroit's playing, they're playing loose. And, you know, a lot of times what happens is the closer you get to the playoffs, you know, AFC and NFC championships, coaching and coaching staff, they get really tight. They start doing things uncharacteristic, but that's not the Lions' case this year. They're just playing freely. They're running trick plays. They're energetic. There's nothing changes about these guys in the big game. So I like them in the Bills this year. And I hate to go against the Chiefs. It's going to sound like, you know, kind of being a hater. Obviously, they're in the AFC West division. But the Chiefs this year, I saw too many weaknesses. You know, the box snap against the Raiders, the blocked field goal. They're winning games that they probably shouldn't have won. And when you start to go against teams like the Bills, right, or any upscale team, you can't win ball games like that. You got to beat them convincingly.
Hey, Sean, as you know, we're going through a coaching search here. I was just curious, what kind of head coach do NFL players want to play for? And are the coaches of this day and age like the type of guys that you would have wanted to play for?
You know, yes and no. But, you know, for me, I never needed motivation. Like, I didn't need a rah-rah coach. It was always good to have. But I always liked tough coaches. I played for Marty Schottenheimer, right? I like the Sean Paytons of the world. I like those tough coaches because once you go out there and you prove that you're willing to lay out in the line, you prove that you're willing to work, they love you to death. They don't like the ones that don't like to put it on the line. I think in today's game, you have to have a head coach that can relate to some of these guys because it's a different time. So you have to have some of these coaches. And that's why I think that Deion would be a good fit out there because he's a player's coach. He played the game, so he got knowledge. He also got the respect because of who he is and how he coached. But he also, man, Deion has a young spirit about him. He's not like an old guy that has old school tactics and stuff like that. Like, he has a young spirit about him that can relate to a lot of guys. So the time is different. You have to get a relatable coach a little bit nowadays.
Lights Out Sports TV, free streaming app, streaming all of the East-West Shrine Game practices. Download it, smart TVs, iOS and Android. Thank you so much, Sean. Best of luck to you.
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
Salute. There he goes, Sean Merriman here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. From there, we now jump into some Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I've got some thoughts about these playoff games coming up from the nerd's perspective. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan, Bobby Corella, All City, coming up at 4 o'clock. Here's Brian with the corner.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. All right, going to focus in for my next-gen look from these four games that we have coming up this weekend and just kind of give you some insights that you might need to think about as you're watching these football games. And I'll start with the Houston Texans at Kansas City. The Chiefs, this is the matchup to watch. The Texans pass rush versus Patrick Mahomes under pressure. The Texans have generated a league-high 39% pressure rate this season, including the playoffs. When generating pressure, the Texans have recorded 9 interceptions. That's the second most. And allowed a league-low 39% completion percentage this season through the wild card round. They're the only defense in the playoffs that was under 40% on completion percentage. Here's the matchup for them. The Chiefs have allowed pressure on 30% of their dropbacks this season. That's the 8th lowest in the NFL. But when pressured, Mahomes has averaged a career-low 5.6 yards per attempt. The 7th lowest in the league, but generated an 8-4 touchdown to interception ratio. So, pressure, key. You think that they'll be able to create? You think that the Texans will be able to create enough to affect Patrick Mahomes in this game?
Man, yes. But don't you have to get home and base? You know, you can't be sending extra guys. He's going to carve you up. You know?
Yeah, I would agree with that, but they've got two outstanding corners in Stingley and Lassiter.
Yep.
That they can match up outside pretty well if they wanted to do that. That's when Travis Kelce comes in. Can he then feast over the middle of the field like he's done so many times? But the tackles are the weakness for that offense so far this year for Kansas City. And Danielle Hunter, I mean, every week he was one of the top defensive ends in terms of win pressure rates, one, mm-hmm. and pressure on the quarterback. I mean, that's going to be – Jawan Taylor's going to have his hands full, and I expect Danielle Hunter to win the majority of those matchups.
I want to make the Chiefs have to run the ball incredibly well. You know, I don't want to give up any big plays. And I feel like if we ever go after him, we're opening the window for this is going to be the big play. I bet Texas wished they didn't go after Ohio State there at the end of the first half.
Mm.
That one play was backbreaking.
That screen was beautiful.
Another little nugget to think about here. The Chiefs accumulated the third most yak run after catch this season at 2,489 yards. That's the 6th most yak per reception at 6.2. So, the Chiefs have averaged over at least 6 yards after a catch in all 7 of Patrick Mahomes' seasons as a starting quarterback. Here's the rub for the Texans, though. The Texans' defense has allowed the most yak per reception in NFL this season at 6.4. So, here we go. Kansas City, big time team, run after catch. Texans, not so good at stopping the run after catch. So, but that's always kind of been the thing with Kansas City, right?
Definitely.
Run after catch.
And there's the screen game.
And there's, yeah, there you go.
I mean, they played like, what, a month ago? 27-19, Chiefs win. C.J. Stroud's throwing interceptions. You sack Mahomes one time. You don't even really have full Isaiah Pacheco at that point, but they will this time around.
Yep.
I don't see – I mean, I could see the Texans' defense giving the Chiefs some fits, especially maybe dealing with a little rust being off for so long. But I don't see the Texans' offense putting up enough of a challenge to really make it a difference.
Commanders at the Lions. This is one's called Living on the Edge. Here's the nugget for you. Commanders have converted 20 of 23 fourth downs. That's 87%. It's the highest since 1991.
Yeah, it's a cheat code. Jaden Daniels has been unbelievably clutch, and his speed allow. I mean, he can just steal. I mean, we just see him go under center. It's fourth and two, and he just takes the under center snap and just runs to the sideline. He can beat everyone to the edge. First down.
You think this is one of those games, Sue? Do you think Dan Quinn stays aggressive?
Yes, even more so. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to change.
Do you think he worries about his defense? Is that why he's?
Well, there's it's worrying about your defense, and it's also supreme confidence in your offense. You just gave the numbers: 87% conversion rate,
20 of 23
on fourth down.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you've got two coaches here that I think are going to be very, very aggressive.
Might not see a punt in the whole game.
Yeah, and Dan Quinn and Dan Campbell. Because, I mean, Jaden Daniels has been best in the game in the fourth quarter in overtime. 12 touchdowns. Nobody else has as many. So clutch situations, fourth downs, and then late in the game, Jaden Daniels is among the best. And Dan Campbell has lived on the edge his entire time as a head coach.
All right, Chief, here's one for you for the Rams-Phillies game. The Philly Eagles.
Bryce Harper is going to have a night.
He is.
I'm putting in the call. Yeah. Prize picks.
Three dongs.
Chief, you're bringing this up because of the offense and what Kellen Moore or lack of. But here's one for you.
Okay.
A.J. Brown recorded just 7 deep receptions for 279 yards this season. Both the fewest since he joined the Eagles in 2022.
Oof.
Jalen Hurts threw the deep ball just 9% of his attempts. That's the 12th lowest rate in the league and his lowest in the career. Is that a Kellen Moore factor, or is that just Jalen Hurts not wanting to throw deep balls?
Well, I mean, when it's the lowest of a career, you try to look for the thing that has changed in Kellen Moore being on the sideline is the difference there. So maybe it's some Jalen Hurts and lack of confidence. Maybe some of it is being coached into him. Play conservative. Hey, we got a really awesome defense. We have an awesome rushing attack. Let's not risk anything. But at some point, that puts a ceiling on you when you go up against the big dogs of the sport. So maybe it's this week, maybe it's next week, but the Eagles' passing game is ultimately what will be their demise.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you can slice it that doesn't put the majority of the blame on Kellen Moore. You know, I think it's notable Kellen Moore cut his teeth as a coach under Jason Garrett, who was obsessed with not turning the ball over.
Right.
I think he neutered Dak early in his career and had him playing too safe. That was the complaint, you know, and I think the explanation for why the route tree was so basic and had so many comebacks and curls was, you know, we want to give the guy a clean target and not risk throwing in between levels. That's where the big plays are made. So I think it's Kellen Moore's impact. The thing I don't want to rule out is that just not turning it over if you have a defense in a run game can win you an insane amount of games. And maybe you know, if you get down in the second half, you do put the ball in the air more. But until we're threatened and we're down in the fourth quarter, I might continue with this just because I don't have that great of an appreciation for Hurts. I think you could easily throw 2 picks in the first half and get you beat.
This is going to be all about that Eagles run game. Like, Barkley tore him up, 255 yards, couple of touchdowns, averaged 9 a carry. Hurts ran the ball 12 times himself. So if the Rams can stop the Eagles ground game, which is the reason they lost the first matchup, they're going to go to the NFC Championship game.
Rams offense featured motion on 82% of their plays this season. That's the second highest rate in the NFL. Matthew Stafford recorded the second most passing yards in the league on plays with motion. 3,123, while Puka Nacua recorded the most receiving yards in the league on plays he was sent in motion, 457. Here's your matchup. The Eagles' defense allowed the fewest yards per play in the NFL against plays with motion, 4.7. However, in Week 12, the Eagles allowed 6.6 yards per play when the Rams used motion, third most this season.
Yeah, you got to be really good at it. You know, I think that's what we learned about the Cowboys last year is even when they tried motion, they couldn't execute. You know, you're creating leverage and you're creating angles, but your offensive linemen have to be dominant, physical, and athletic enough to go get in those positions quickly, you know, to take advantage of the defense leaning the other way. So, I mean, salute to Sean McVay and everybody he's coached mm-hmm. for being so great at coaching that across at a very extended period of time. Now, we're coming up on a decade with a major evolving cast. So all new skill players, all new offensive linemen, back at him again.
Defense completely retooled.
Yeah.
Here's something with the Baltimore Raven-Buffalo Bill matchup for you. Following the Bills' Week 12 bye, Von Miller generated 19 pressures on 79 pass rush, good for a league-high 24% pressure rate over that span. It included a 32% on third downs. His Miller will be aligned on the left edge of he's aligned on the left edge 266 of his 267 snaps this season. That's a matchup against Roger Rosengarten. Rosengarten allowed 12% pressure rate this season. That's the fourth highest right tackle among 37 players with at least 200 pass blocking attempts. Is that going to be a pressure point problem for the Ravens? Rosengarten versus Von Miller to that side.
Von Miller time, man. Playoff Von. There is something about that. He seems to really, really turn it on. Got some pressure against Bo Nix early in that game. I do believe that Von Miller is going to make sure that his presence is known and Lamar Jackson is feeling him anytime he drops back.
Just run right at him.
Yeah. And the final thing is James Cook. This is about for Buffalo. James Cook ran to the weak side of the formation 56% of his carries this season. It's the highest rate in the NFL. He averaged 1.7 yards per contact carry on runs directed to the weak side compared to just 1 yards per four contact per carry on runs directed to the strong side of the formation. 8 touchdown runs on his carries directed to the weak side with a fourth most in the NFL. Here we go. The Ravens defense allowed the fourth fewest runs per carry. Yards per carry, excuse me, 3.6 and a league low 28% success rate on carries directed to the weak side. Is this something that the Bills are going to have to change? Is the Ravens going to convince them you're going to have to go strong side because they're playing so well on the weak side of their defense?
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly a chance that'll be best on best, and let's see who wins. But at some point, you'll have to have a change up there if you're Joe Brady, if it's not working for you. But that rushing attack right now, they're going heavy personnel. They're putting a sixth lineman out there on the line, and James Cook is running his rear end off. So that's going to be – I cannot wait for that game, dude.
I'm looking forward to seeing if, in fact, how well that the Buffalo will run the football in this game. I mean, I'm interested because, like I say – the weak side stuff is great. You mentioned the heavy formation stuff that they've done has been really, really good. But I think that the Ravens, they've got to find a way to play run defense in this game. I don't think they can let Buffalo, run at them and expect to win this football.
Well, and I do feel like Buffalo has no shot if they can't stop Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah, and that's both sides of the ball here.
Henry crushed him
first
game.
I think Buffalo is going to need to run in this football game.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the nation. Bobby Corella, we'll talk Mavs with him coming up next here on The Fan.